Yeah.
Don't
think
that's safe first, please.
John, no. Yes, I didn't want to miss the piece about.
We'll have to go back now. But mm-hmm. Ask your question again, Barbara.
No, you're saying about getting married. What a lovely church to get
married. Oh, yes, and it was a lovely church to get married.
Yes.
Mm. And you had to get did you have to get a special license?
No.
We did,
you see, because it was on the Friday. I was then stationed at Margaret to see my unit I was with. And on the Friday, I spoke to the Sergeant Major, asking him what the chances were of getting leave. So he says, well, when for? I said, oh, 2 or 3 weeks' time. Because Peg's eldest sister and her husband, we wanted to have a double wedding.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
So he says to me, I'm thinking that's out of order, he says. You'd be in France then. I'd only been in the army 3 weeks.
Was that the first you heard that you'd be going to France?
Yeah. So he said, come and see me after last break this afternoon, which I did do, because we was all in civilian houses in Margate. I goes up to the headquarters in there, and there's a room big like this, there's half a dozen officers in there, the OC was there. And he says to me, he says, what's this? He says, oh, you want to go and get married? I said, yes, sir. He says, well, couldn't you wait until you get leave from France? I says, well, will you tell my girlfriend that? Everybody chuckled. And you're going 48 hours leave.
Well, I've done sweet talk to me. Mm-hmm.
So he says, if we give you leave, can you get married? I said, well, if I can get to the post office in time, I'll ring them or send a telegram to the wife to get a special licence, which I did do.
And which I did do.
Yes. And then, because at Margate we had 2 foot of snow at that particular time in January. And Tom, I got my pass, because they obviously wanted me to do it, you had to get it from the town or whatever. And Tom, I got it and got the train. I didn't get into Sean till 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
And the registry office where we were going to get married in Worthing was closed by then.
Mm. Oh dear.
So that was it. That's why I went to see the vicar of New Sean Church, Reverend Blossop.
Because on that Sunday, our bands were being called for the third time.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness. See, but we couldn't be married at St Mary's, but we could be married at St Nicholas.
Yeah.
And to St Nicholas.
And you didn't have your double wedding then?
No.
Oh, well.
And was it the same vicar at St Mary's and St Nicholas as it is now?
No. What, the church?
No, I mean,
vicar.
Now the vicar has the same church, doesn't he?
Shepherd,
yes.
Yes, Shepherd.
Blossom here, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's been about. Must have been about four since.
Ah, yes, I didn't mean that. Mm. What I meant was.
Did Glossop do the two churches?
Each had their own separate one. Mm. Yeah, I thought most probably would.
Which now I think Shepherd does the two.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Did you have a picture under the lych gate? It's such a lovely gate.
Yes.
No. We had some pictures taken, but up near the church. It was freezing.
And
it
was a cold. So really, you had sort of one day's honeymoon, really.
Yes.
That's right, I had to leave 8 o'clock in the morning, get back to Margate. I had to be back at 2 o'clock. It's half 2, 4, I got there wrong, but that's
and thing. See, I think it's sort of changed over the years. See, Bert came home for 48 hours. We couldn't get married on a Saturday, not to the Sunday. But Saturday night, he had to go back to his own home, you know, in Ship Street.
Oh, yeah.
But I say, these days...
Oh, I see.
I say, he only had 48 hours.
And I didn't know whether I'd see him the whole time.
And I didn't know when I would see him again once he'd gone to France.
No.
Or how long was it?
Yes, right.
How long was it before you saw him again?
Well, he came back...
July. I came back from
Dunkirk. You see, you went over in January.
Oh, 31st of January, I got back from there. But then the unit then, you see, Tommy got to England, A unit, like 300 strong, was spread all over the country. Because when we came back on the rescue boats, they all went to different boats or whatever that was going, you see. We went into Dover, and the train there, went into Dover, so once the train was full, he went. We finished up in Blackstone, up in, not all that far away, really.
In Sussex?
Up near Aldershot way.
Oh, yes, in Hampshire.
Some of the canvas for a day or two, and then they got a few more of the unit there. Then we moved down to Tavistock in Devon, and then we used to, used to be on duty at the station each day to pick up any of our chaps who was coming back from Scotland or wherever, you see, until the unit was actually 100% again.
Did you lose very many men?
No, not really, not killed.
No.
We got bombed at one little farm place where we were stopping, and Jerry bombed us there, and he hit the farmers. Air captain, we got a foot blown off. One of the sappers was killed, and I think one or two got shrapnel. It was my mate, because we'd been in this mate of mine from Brighton. We'd been in this corrugated iron barn.
Whereabouts was this, in France or Belgium?
I don't know the name. There's one town, it's just a little farm.
Yes.
Right out in the wild, see?
And you were a sapper then? You were a sapper, you went in the engineers and you were a sapper?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you were at this base, what were you doing then? Remember?
And you just
arrived, perhaps, had you?
Doing a bit of training, John.
Training?
Yeah, bayonet practice.
So you were training over there, they were sending you over there to train?
Yeah.
And you said 3 weeks, it was incredible.
Yeah. I never fired my rifle till after May the 10th, John, when Jerry broke through. In that week, they put us on a small range with 5 rounds of ammunition to get used to our rifles. He only had 5 rounds. The only time we got any more ammunition was just before we went into Dunkirk.
So, were you very far from Dunkirk when the retreat started? I mean, was it?
Well, we was in a whiz just outside of Lille to start.
Lille?
The hometown.
You know that.
Hometown.
Oh, yes, yeah. We Esk du Nord.
Oh, I know it very well.
Do you? That's
yes.
Where we stationed.
Yes. Well, in Esk. That's so Roger. He lived there for quite a long while.
Yeah, Esk du Nord, yes. Well, we were doing gun emplacements almost up by Lens.
Yes, Lens. Yes.
The station there.
Yes.
Because when we came from Le Havre, the train went right through, dropping units at different places, and they dropped us off at Lens. And we had to walk Lens to Esk du Nord.
Yes.
And it's all ice. And when we went back that way the next day on the truck, I didn't recognise anywhere.
No.
I didn't.
How were the French people treating you? Or did you not have any contact with them?
Oh, yes.
Were they quite?
Oh, yeah, very nice, very pleasant. There's the local blacksmith, and his wife used to have a small souvenir shop. And on a Sunday, there's two or three of my mates, we used to go up there to get souvenirs, right? And we'd been going there for quite a while, and then they used to offer us a cup of tea. So we used to go there on the Sunday for a cup of tea.
Okay. Fancy getting a cup of tea.
They got friendly. They had three daughters.
Oh, this is
what it was.
Yeah.
That was three the attraction, really.
And the eldest daughter, Theresa.
You should know.
It's Eliza. She was
got a photo of one of them.
I've got a photo of all three and all.
Mm-hmm.
I think. She spoke a little English, so we got on all right.
Don't need much. And to speak
it was one of those scenes, but when we went back to France and we started moving up the other troops, we finished up.
This is after the invasion, you mean now?
Oh, yes, oh, yeah. We moved right up. Well, we stopped at Lille first.
Yeah.
The first stop was Lille. We only stayed there for 2 or 3 days. While we were there, on the Sunday, I got pulled in for duty. I had to take a lot of Jerry prisoners back then to the POW camp. And a lot of the chaps went over to ask to have a look down there.
Have a look again.
Yeah. So one of my mates, he says, here, he says, saw those friends of yours down there, and they weren't, I didn't know where you were. And we said that you'd be there as soon as possible. So I was thinking I'd be there next day, but of course next day we moved out.
Yeah.
We finished up then in Brussels.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Mm. And their first job there was bring back some French colonial prisoners who'd been prisoners of war with the Germans, like, take them down to Lille. So there were several.
This would be 1944. Mm.
That's right, several bandloads of them, right? And when we got to Lille and got rid of the prisoners, the officer with us, he says, right, lads, he says, you've got the day to yourself, man, what do you want to do? So everybody says, can we go to Ask?
Well, we went back to Ask,
and where these people lived, it's more or less a crossroads, and we turned down to this to go right into the village itself, and I jumped off just around the corner, and before I could get to the corner, they dashed across the road. They must have seen me.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
But could we go back to when you went over to France and you were stationed, I don't know how far from Dunkirk, and you were there, you're doing a training, etc. Now, when the retreat came, how far did you have to go? I mean, was it 50 miles, 100 miles, or, and how did you go, by foot or transport? Or?
Well, some of each. Mm. Well, when we got to France, we went from Southampton,
yeah,
on a boat. I wouldn't say it was a troop ship, it was a boat.
Mm.
No way could you sit in on it, so packed. And we was 2 days on this boat. We went to Le Havre, got there, it was dark in the morning. So we offloaded, and he's on the quayside, and they says, there's a mule waiting for you then in the sidings. So we're walking down to the sidings to get this mule, and you could smell it before you, long before you got there. Gone off. It smelled a high heaven. They finished up goes a tin of McConaughey.
McConaughey.
Well, it is. It was meat.
Like a stew, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Mm. Something like a stew. But the only thing is, it was only lukewarm, and the fat on the meat was all yuck. It took me off my conicies. But unfortunately, you had to eat it eventually. But then the train came along, and we got on this train, and went off. Their first stop was Arras in the morning, where we stopped. Where a load of troops got off, and they came in with tea and biscuits and all. And then next stop was Lens, where we got off. Then we had this, it was about, I don't know, 5 or 6 kilometre walk up to Ask, where we was going to be billeted.
So
John wants to know how you got back to Dunkirk, or where you were.
Oh, well, once Well, because we're on gun emplacements, on the big gun emplacements, right, until May the 10th, when the Germans broke through, right? Well, then from there, they switched us over to smaller defence works, which was pillar boxes, small ones, mushroom type. They used to be three in a triangle, 100 yards apart. Mm-hmm. Supposed to be the continuation of the Maginot.
Yeah.
Well, we was there working there for a few days, and all of a sudden the DR came out and says, pack up, leave everything as it is, and get back to the unit as quick as possible. So we just let everything, all the concrete mix, still going, later 200 or 300 tonne of cement all uncovered. We went back to our billets, it's right, get yourself packed up, all your kit, you're on the road. We started moving off then.
And that would be marching? Or would it be by a vehicle?
That was by vehicle then, we had one or two lorries. But we did go far. We went to a place called Monzenbrau.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a brewery town. And we stopped there for a few days. And because when we got there, everybody was leaving. And the people who owned the brewery said, it's yours.
Oh,
but unfortunately, you see, some of the chaps got taken back with it. Mm. Filled up their water bottles and got drunk. Finished up, everybody's on parade in the street with your water bottles turned upside down. Oh. And then the sergeant went around all the places where we sleep and bigger. Where I went to, there's a woman living in this house across the road from where we were. And she came over and gave us the key of her house. She said there's chickens, rabbits, a calf, and there's lots of potatoes in the cellar and other stuff. She says, it's yours.
And she was
and off they went. They went. So half a dozen of us moved over then, because a couple of sergeants got aware of it and they came in with us. And one night we killed the chickens. No way could we feed them. We killed the chickens. We had chickens and chips that night. As a banquet to us in those days. Anyway, then the next move from there, we moved around to different parts of France. As I said, I can't remember. The only place that I'll remember was near was Hill 60, the First World War.
Yeah.
Around Saint-Omer or somewhere like that.
That's right. I know we went through Ypres. There's another place. But we stopped in this place. It's only in the old farmer's place, more or less dirt there, for a few days. And then we moved on again. I don't think anybody in the unit knew where we were going. And then we went to this other farm. This was a chicken farm where we got bombed. And then they decided to move us out. And then we done a force march through the night up there, John. It took us, I don't know how many miles it was, it took us from about, we set off about 9 o'clock, I suppose, in the evening, as it gradually beginning to get dark. And we sort of walked all the way through till daylight in the morning.
And then you were on the, when you were on the beach, how long were you on the beach for?
Well, when we, this force march, we were still quite away from Dunkirk. And we'd been, they'd been ordered to discard everything you don't want. So they did, you know, a lot of your gear that you will be using and everything else. So then we made for Dunkirk in two or three lorries, and we eventually got in Dunkirk on the Sunday afternoon. That would be about, what was that, about the 24th, 25th of May, that was. Because on your way there, when Jerry was coming over all the time, scruffing the roads, bombs.
What was the reaction of all of you to it? I mean, were you upset or sad or...
No.
You took it all in your stride?
That's right,
just
yes,
doing what you were told?
That's right, mm. Yes. Because when I look back on it now, I thought to myself, you know, why weren't we formed? But I don't think we were. No, no. It's something different. Completely different.
Excitement keeps you.
That's right,
from
yeah.
Being frightened, yes.
And because in one place where we stopped, I always remember this, we used to, there's only a few buildings there, but during the daytime we used to get away from the buildings because on the road there's a lot of military transport as well. We used to keep away from roads and buildings. And there's quite a few of us out along this field into the copse. And one of the chaps, he was a Scotchman, Tommy Ossoff, his name was. He said, I think I'll go and get a wash and a shave. So because off he went, and there, I mean, the only way you could boil water from a shave was the ditch. Because the Belgian people there, this is in Belgium, are taking the pumps, hands off the pumps. You know, this was all hand pumps. And as he's going across this field, Jerry came over again, dropping the bombs. And one dropped near Tommy, and I've never, the 4 minute mile never came in it. I've never seen a bloke move so fast in all my life. And there we were yelling to him, go on Tom, go on Tom. And this bomb came down and just stuck in the ground.
No!
Yeah, didn't go off.
Somebody was looking after him.
Yeah.
And what
was
his name on it?
Yeah, so anyway, soon after that, we all moved out, and then we made for Dunkirk, as I say. We had several stops, you know, someone yelled Jerry, and everybody stopped, and you run anywhere away from the road. So eventually we arrived on Sunday afternoon, and we were walking around for quite a while, because we got, as soon as we got in there, we got bombed again on the canal. I was laying on the side of the canal with one of our sergeants, and I looked round to see these Germans coming over, and I was trying to judge where the bombs were going to fall. And I thought, wrong, the next one's us. I got my head down, tin out over the back, and the next one over the road into the cemetery, I think. And he says to me, wrong, is it that was close? I said, yeah, too close for my life. Anyway, we finished up in a brickyard, just got settled down. I said, get yourself settled down, and we move out first light. Well, we didn't wait for first light, we moved out a bit quick because Jerry come over again, bombing. Delayed action bombs, though. Because we was up and away. And we walked all through the night, and I remember one time there when we, 659 was there, unit number, you see, when I heard 659 on your feet, get moving.
659
yes. And I shook the bloke next to me, thinking it's one of my mothers. Come on, mate, we're on the roof. Because he was dead, wasn't he? One of their companies. Because I've never seen so many trucks and guns, and, you know, they've been disabled all the time. Everywhere they were, trucks were, motors. Because the troops were going everywhere, so eventually we were on the sand dunes. Still don't know where we are, just keeps going. And then all of a sudden someone says, all right, 659, take it easy, try and sleep. Well, when a few hours later, when the light come, we see where we were. We Blaines, I think it's Blaines, is part just away from the Dunkirk Harbour, because we could see it was blazing then, about half a mile away. And there we are, there's all these days in the trail. Never going to get off here. So we're walking around, and then there's a British major, threatened to shoot us. He was sitting in the sand, pulled his gun out. Take cover, he says, you two, before I shoot you. He was off his nut. This made him all, an old Joe from Brian, he soon made himself scarce. We're looking for something to eat or drink, because we hadn't had anything since the cup of tea, or half a cup of tea we'd made when we pulled into Dunkirk, and one of the old ration biscuits. Anyway, we found a pink pot of marmalade in the sand. Everything good.
That's why he likes marmalade.
Yeah. And as I say, then it wasn't until...
This was the Sunday, was it?
No, that would be... that could have been either the Monday or the Tuesday.
Oh, I see.
Still on the Sunday?
Oh, yes. Still there. We stayed there until the Wednesday afternoon. When there was a major of the engineers who used to be with that unit, then he'd got posted. He came up and he asked for signalers. So there's two of their blokes who was in the regular army, both of them were signalers. What can it be? They went down to the seashore, and whatever message, I don't know what message it was, he gave them to send out. This destroyer was coming along, and it stopped there. Whether the message got to them or not, I never did know. Anyway, the boat started coming ashore from there.
What, the small rowboat was this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not the old... what they call those, the bigger ones.
What,
you know, you take about half a dozen of you to row.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know,
a double header, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And he says, right, form up, single file, bolt length, this part, see? Which we did do. Run up the spout. Don't let anybody get in, only your own unit. That's what, hey, we got off down Dunkirk.
So you got onto into the rowboat?
Yeah, got on the boat. The old petty officer there. Any of you feel fit enough to do a bit of rowing, help us out. He says, the sooner we can get away, the sooner we can come back, pick up more. So one or two officers are one, and I got hold of an old, but it's only a youngster, about 15 on it. Helped him, all the naval cadets they were, see. And we went on to the Codlington airboat boat.
Yeah.
Because one or two of the others, one of my mates, he went on to a Dutch boat. They hadn't been on there very long before they got sunk, and all the survivors got picked up on somebody else.
They brought you across to where? To Dover?
To Dover. Yeah, yeah.
And you disembarked there?
Disembarked there, and then we got on the train to...
The place in Aldershot?
Yeah, Blackstone.
Blackstone, yeah. And Peg, I can't remember what was happening then, truthfully. You must have been known something was happening. You hadn't, presumably hadn't had any mail for a while.
No, we didn't know.
You didn't know?
No. That they were there.
And how long was it before you heard that Bert was all right?
Well, when we got to Blackstone, I don't know what day it was, but it must have been about the first or second of June. Something like that. We all could send a telegram. There's facilities on this is. Tented camp with the facilities there for to send telegrams.
Oh, that was efficient.
Yeah, they'd laid that on.
Yeah, I'll say, I didn't know where Bert was in France or where, but my dad used to say, because it was the bulge, wasn't it, they called it, where all you men were. What did they call it? On the back of the bulge, was it?
No, that was Germany.
Well, I know my dad said that that's where they are, because my sister's husband was there as well.
In the Dunkirk area, you see.
He kept saying, that's where they are, but I didn't know. No. I just didn't know.
So until we got you got mail from him, presumably, when you were... when he went over there to start with, after the 3 weeks he'd had over here. It was only a few days, presumably, after you got married that you went abroad.
No, the following weekend.
Following weekend. Mm. Mm. So you went abroad, and would you have heard from him when you got the other side? Presumably you would.
Oh, yeah, I was just writing, you think?
Yes.
So how long were you over there before Dunkirk, before you had to do this retreat, then? Was it 3 months?
January, the end of January.
And you were away in the end of May?
The end of May.
Yeah. So you would have had correspondence. You used to get mail each way. But then, presumably, when Dunkirk came up, nothing.
That's right.
Oh, no, we couldn't. No good us even writing a letter, because no way could we get it into the post anyway.
No.
We weren't alone. I'm saying there's so many girls waiting for news, so it was tough.
Where were you working all this time?
Have you been your electrician for me?
No, I hadn't gone to the railway works then, had I?
One of the factories
probably. I was doing the. Yeah. Yes.
And where were you still living at home then?
Yes. Yes. Yes, we didn't get a place of our own until 42, wasn't it?
Yeah, 42, when I got back from Iceland. We took a bungalow. Mm.
So
rented a bungalow then.
Yeah.
Where was this?
Lancing. South Lancing.
Going further back, what was the weather like? Did you have much snow in the winter? Was it very different from now?
Oh, yes. That winter that we got married, it was a terrible winter.
Is that the one where it was all piled up in the high street?
That was 1988.
Yeah, not quite that long.
Oh, no, 1940, as I say. When I was at Margate, we had 2 foot of snow down here, but when I got up here, it's no snow at all. But when I left here on the Monday morning, there was a film of snow on the ground then.
Mm.
Well, then, when we got to France, I mean, they'd have from where we was, Mark, from Lens down to us, they'd had a lot of snow there.
Do you remember any great storms or anything like that at all over here?
When you were young, when you were children. What way?
I can't remember anything like that, John.
No.
What about on the beach where the bungalows were?
There was those times, but to us kids it didn't seem nothing really.
No.
But when that boat, you know, you got the Book of Shawn, but that boat was sunk in the harbour.
I was only looking at that today.
Mm-hmm. I remember going over there to have a look at it. That's the one I think.
Yes. SS Brussels, wrecked opposite the lighthouse, July the 5th, 1922.
Mm.
That have been it?
Mm. That's the one, yeah. I've got the same one at home. Yeah.
So you remember the Mystery Towers then?
Oh, yes.
The
You see, I don't know if you've read about this, John, but when they built the new power station, you know, the one that you partly down then, they reckoned they came to a base of one of these mystery tests.
Yes.
But I can't see it myself, because I think in one of these other photographs of these, I mean...
There was a third one, wasn't there? There was a base for a third one prepared.
Well, that's the only one I can think it would be.
Yeah.
Because these two, what I remember, I was only a little one, they was there just, you know, by the night house, just in that piece of ground.
Yes. One of them was taken out, wasn't it? And that's now the Nab Tower. The second one that was actually built was taken apart by Macris. They demolished that one in situ, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, I think there was only a base there, and that is part of the of the.
So they reckon that that's what they came across.
Yeah.
When they built that new power station.
Yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it?
But I still can't see it.
No.
I mean, somebody has to explain a lot to me for me to believe that. Because where these two are built, John, they're right by the harbour, mate. You know, that piece of water running the other side of them is going out to the harbour.
Well, they must have been this side of the locks, because they'd never have come through the locks.
No, that's right.
Mm. Yes, I see what you mean. But I understand, or I say we understand, that in Southwick there are some of the driveways to the houses have been built out of pieces of the old Mystery Towers. Mm. And indeed the towpath from the railway bridge going towards the old toll bridge, those concrete slabs there, we understand, are from the old Mystery Towers as well. Yeah. But it's strange because they got sort of holes in the middle where they can.
Yeah.
I often wonder what they were and why. Mm. But it's quite fascinating. Do you remember the widening of the high street? You know, when they.
Yes, oh yes, yes.
What did people think about it at that time?
Well, I don't think anybody bothered. I think they were quite pleased about it, really.
Because it was so narrow.
It was so narrow, John.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, at the far end there, where.
Fitzhugh Gates, the.
Coronation Green,
yeah. Coronation Green, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, then, just as you come off the footbridge,
yes.
And sort of. Well, you go up the steps and come up a bit further. Dolphin Chambers.
Yeah, that was taken down, wasn't it?
That's
to
right.
Make way,
yes,
for it.
That's right. Well, that part there, because from there the road used to go down towards the river into the lower road. It's not, don't seem quite pronounced as it is now.
No.
But it seemed to be quite a sharp turn then, because on the other corner there, where in East Street and then the lower road, I mean, they had the garage there in the
pub there, didn't it?
The pub on that corner there.
Well, that's the ferry, isn't it?
The other side.
No.
There's another one.
Where that...
the seat is now.
Where the seat is now, yes.
That's
right,
yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I've got a picture here. This is a post-war book. It was when the new money came in, so it can't be all that old.
No, it's 66, isn't it?
66. And it shows the old toll house on the footbridge.
Oh, yes.
It's still there. I can remember coming down as a child, and we're staying on the beach and coming across there and paying a toll.
Yes. Yeah.
But I was surprised to see this photograph, and it appears to be in there.
Yeah, that's it, John. Yeah. There, see?
Mm.
That's it. Old Major Norris. He used to be the toll keeper.
Really?
Major Norris. Yeah.
Yes, 1921 pedestrian bridge, toll bridge opened.
Mm. That's right. Because this is 1966, I think. Wasn't it?
Something like that, that's yes.
Every shared group of companies there.
Yeah. Yeah.
See on the back, John.
What?
Leggett and Turn.
Yeah.
Oh, Leggett and Turn, yeah, old bridge.
Yeah. But it's interesting to look at.
Oh, it is. Oh, yes.
Another picture I've got here, and this is about 1930. And again, you can see the quite clearly the toll house on the footbridge.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can see, I think, can you see the garage that you were at there, Bert? On this side of the... No, it doesn't show it, does
no,
it?
No, it's not.
It hasn't come far enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, no, I was over on the beach, John. It was further down there. You know where... Do you remember where Watercraft used to be?
Yeah.
Well, more or less on that side there.
Oh, not the one that's just near the Lady B, or was
no,
it?
No.
Lady Jane.
Lady Jane.
Mm-hmm.
There's one there. I think there's still the remains of it still there. There's a garage place there, been there for yonks.
No, you used to go around that road.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Road into the old Fort Road.
Mm.
And it's over on the left hand side.
Yes.
Where the Watercraft people used to be.
Did you ever see any of the film people at all? Do you ever remember?
Well, yes, it's going back. My memory is very good. But one person that I do remember here in Shoreham, because in the old days, the George pub, it's up on the upper Shoreham Road name. You know the one on me? Top of Stony Lane?
Yes, yes, yes.
That used to be across where 51 is. Is it 51?
No, yes.
That's where it used to be.
Next to the town hall.
That the pub that's there was there. It moved, you mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they knocked that down. Well, they built one up the top.
Yeah.
By the renovate.
Yes.
On the top road, and they knocked this one down after that.
Yeah.
This is when the road was going to be widened.
I see. I see. Yeah.
Because there's the pub on the corner, then there's a fish and chip shop, then there's a private house, then there's usually a big wall, and beyond the big wall, down that gap, usually John Brown's stables.
Yeah.
Bring it back there. See.
Well, I'm afraid we've come to the end of the tape now, so
right,
thank you very much indeed for those chats. We'll see how it goes from there. Thank you.